Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Pizza, a New York staple, but not a New York City invention. Pizza originated in Naples hundreds of years ago as kind of a flatbread, an easy meal for working class folks in the city. But when citizens left Naples for a better life, or at one point escaping rampant cholera, those people brought their recipes with them, and pizza morphed and changed, so much so at one point it evolved into an item considered exclusively for dinner, a fancy white tablecloth dish. Now, the only reason I know any of that is because of a three-volume set of books called Modernist Pizza, part of the Modernist Cuisine publishing family. Former Microsoft CTO turned chef and food writer, the founder of Modern Cuisine, Nathan Myhrvold, and co-author Francisco Magoya present more than 1,000 recipes, 3,700 photos, and hundreds of experiments to provide an in-depth understanding of exactly what pizza is and how it can be expanded upon. Visiting more than 250 restaurants, consulting far and wide, Myhrvold and team have created a love letter, or better yet, a love epic to pizza around the world. Nathan Myhrvold joins me now. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing great. So you started this Modernist Explorations with, you know, the award-winning Modernist Cuisine. People know that from, it came out about 2011. And then you continued the series with Modernist Bread. And now we have Modernist Pizza. What questions about pizza did you want to find the answers to?
Well, you know, first, pizza is maybe the single most important imported dish around the world. Various cultures have their own dishes that they create, but almost everyone has pizza. In fact, by calling envoys at the UN, we determined that out of nearly 200 countries in the world, all but three of them have a pizzeria. So, you know, how did that happen? That's sort of the first question. The second is that the pizza world is full of myth and legend that, for example, you need the water of Naples or the water of New York City or the water of some other place to make your pizza perfectly. There's lots of misdirection in the history of pizza because people decided it was good to claim to be authentic. And so lots of pizzerias claim that they invented something that they probably didn't invent. And it's also just an enormously popular dish. Mm-hmm. Modernist cuisine was about modern cooking techniques. A lot of it at the time was high-end food, although the techniques have, in part because of the book, have migrated down to throughout the cooking world. Pizza is something that in many places is the cheapest thing you could get to eat. In other places is, as you say, a white tablecloth, fancy sort of a deal. So it's really quite a phenomenon.
It's interesting you said that you called representatives from the UN as part of your research for this book. So when you thought about, okay, who are we going to talk to? If we're going to write Modernist Pizza, who did you know you needed to speak to?
Well, I think the first is we needed to speak to lots of pizzolos. That's pizza makers. You know, there's some food. If you look at, say, Michelin three-star restaurants or the equivalent, almost all of those chefs have a cookbook. It's part of a normal professional development that you have one or more cookbooks. And it's partially an ego thing. It's partially a financial thing. It's partially a marketing thing for your restaurant. So you can find out a lot about the way people are cooking on the other side of the planet if they have a high-end restaurant. But this is not true with pizza, where pizza is one of these foods where there are lots of secret recipes. There's lots of things where they, you know, something is supposedly kept only, you know, known to the family. So we knew that we had to go not only talk to, but go eat at pizzerias all over the world.
You know, somebody said, there's like, oh, you had to go eat at pizzerias around the world.
You know, it's funny because people would tell me, oh, I'd love to be on one of your pizza tours. But we typically go to 5 pizzerias a day. And when you're like 2 weeks into that, you've had a lot of pizza. And it starts becoming work more than just fun.
My guest is Nathan Myhrvold. We're talking about modernist pizza. So these 3 volumes, they're broken up to history and fundamentals, techniques and ingredients, and recipes. And then there's this manual as well. So let's talk about history and fundamentals. While the food is associated with Italy and a staple here, it's also big in Brazil and Argentina. So I'm curious, what were some geopolitical events that were important in the history of pizza?
Well, I think the first thing is that Italy didn't really become a country until very late, until after the Civil War, around the time of the Civil War, 1860. And that was a big thing for Naples, because Naples had been the capital of a whole kingdom called the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. And it was basically Italy from Naples south and the island of Sicily. So it was a big capital, but then once Italy unified, oops, it wasn't a big capital anymore. So that was one geopolitical thing. The second is that there was a series of terrible cholera epidemics in Naples in the late 19th century. And that prompted the new Italian government to say, look, we have to fix this and we have to put new sewers in. And so they started a big project called the Ristoramento, restoration, which wound up tearing down a lot of the worst slums in Naples so that they could put sewers in. Now, these days, if you tore down a whole bunch of places people lived, you'd have to provide some other place for them to live. It turns out they actually didn't do that.
The exodus.
So there were a lot of people in Naples that literally had to go some other place because there was no place for them to go. And so that and economic factors in the new unified Italy, all of these meant that a huge number of people left Naples. Probably a third of the population of the city left within a 20-year period. And, you know, that's millions of folks. Now, a few went to other parts of Italy, but a huge number of them went to the New World. And the New World either meant the United States or South America. So Argentina and Brazil both got huge numbers of people from Naples.
I'm going to ask a completely New York-centric question. When did it get here to New York?
Well, we did a bunch of research on trying to find what the first pizza in New York was. It's very likely that the very first pizza in New York was something that somebody made in their home or tenement. And so it's very hard to get documentation. The earliest actual pizzeria is from 1895. And there was a man named Filippo Milone. And Milone was responsible for starting, he was sort of the Johnny Appleseed of New York pizzerias. He started half a dozen of them. He was helpful in pizzerias in Trenton and in other areas. But his very first one was 1895. It's possible we'll find some documentation of something earlier, but so far that's what we've found. Interestingly, it was in Boston and in San Francisco almost simultaneously. The earliest documentation we have on San Francisco is a few years later in 1904. There was clearly some pizzerias in Boston in 1900. So basically all the places Italians, Italian immigrants went, or in particular Neapolitan immigrants went, had pizza very quickly.
I want to get to the second volume as well. By the way, my guest is Nathan Myhrvold. We're talking about Modernist Pizza, this three-volume set about techniques and ingredients. So there are more than 1,000 recipes in the book. And there are, I didn't know you can make pizza dough so many different ways. that was sort of really exciting and interesting to me. But are there some basics about making good pizza dough? Something that it has to have to really be great?
Well, yes, there's one very simple thing, which is to make pizza dough, you have to flatten the dough out really thin. Mm-hmm. And or even if it's a thick pizza, you have to flatten it out to some degree, a thick crust pizza. So it turns out that almost all pizza dough works vastly better if you make it one day, let it sit overnight in the fridge till the next day.
Interesting.
And it's a very simple thing, but that overnight process helps the dough relax, and it makes it vastly easier for you to flatten it, and it just comes out way better. Now, we came up with a few formulations for what we call emergency dough, where this is when you have to have the dough work the same day. And you can do it, but the simplest thing is to say, hey, let it sit overnight.
Emergency dough. I like that. So, you know, you've been kind enough to give us a recipe to put on our website for artisan pizza dough. And that's really interesting. And I thought what's interesting about it when I was reading is it seems that how you make it is as important as what's in it. Like when you add the oil and what kind of flour matters.
Yes, to some degree. We did a lot of experiments to figure out what the ideal way to make each of these doughs is. And, particularly based on our experience with bread, we know that in some cases it's better to add oil or add other ingredients at a particular time. That said, you know, dough is a very robust thing. If somebody screwed up and added an ingredient at the wrong time, it's not going to jump out of the oven or catch fire or something. It'll still be dough. one of our funny experiments is that people who developed different types of pizza all have different doughs. And they all swear you must use this dough for this pizza. So we did a set of experiments that we call cross-crusting. So this is where you take a pizza recipe and you use the wrong dough on it. Now, sometimes this is a disaster, but more often than not, we found that there are doughs that are totally different than the traditional dough that still work great.
I'm curious about toppings. Now that we've talked about foundations, the crust,
yep.
Because that is where people... That's where people stake their ground when it comes to toppings. When did the idea of multiple toppings pop up?
Well, in the original pizza in Naples, the very earliest references just have it be a flatbread that's either topped with oil or topped with a tiny little fish that they catch in Naples, sort of like a sardine or an anchovy, but it's only an inch long. Tiny little thing. Mm-hmm. And that was more as a seasoning than as like a big meaty portion. But then by the middle of the 19th century, people had started putting cheese and tomato on it. And so cheese and tomato are the most classic things. And then throughout time, people have invented other stuff. Pepperoni was a terrific American invention. It has a name that sounds like it's Italian, but in fact, there's no sausage in Italy even remotely like it. And it was invented somewhere around 1910, so far as we can tell, in the United States. Then it took a little while for the pepperoni to actually get put on pizza. That is, of course, the classic New York pizza would be cheese, tomato, and pepperoni. Other places around the world have all taken pizza on as their own thing, and they will all have their own characteristic toppings. You know, if you're in Korea or Japan, you'll probably find squid and soy sauce and a variety of other things that you wouldn't think are traditional pizza, but they make sense within the culinary context of folks in that country.
What is the biggest pizza myth that you discovered?
Well, you don't need a special water. Within reason, you don't need a special flour. There are flours that work a little better than other flours, but you can make pizza with any flour you make bread with, and you can certainly make types of pizza with almost any flour you have on hand. You know, as pizza spread around the world, rather than being seen as a foreign dish, people would mutate it, and then they would call it their own. And they'd say, oh, this is New York pizza, or this is Chicago pizza, or so on and so forth. And that mutation and adaptation often involved the crust. So basically anything you can think of tweaking on a crust has been done. So some pizzas have a crust that is so thin, it's almost non-existent, or it's almost like a cracker. Others made it big and puffy so that it's more like a loaf of focaccia or a flatbread. It just has toppings on top.
You're making me hungry.
Some have the thin crust pizza with almost no toppings. Others have enormous numbers of toppings. And, Chicago, a deep dish pizza.
We're not talking Chicago pizza. That's all I'm saying. My guest has been Nathan Myhrvold. It's Modernist Pizza, 3 volumes. Nathan, thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.